One day, a Bible professor got up to speak in chapel. And as he walked to the podium, he noticed one of his students walking in late. This young man was notoriously late for chapel and class, a repeat offender. Today was no different. The inconsiderate and selfish student angered and he annoyed the professor. Just last week, the professor caught the young man cheating on a test. And from what he heard from other faculty members, this wasn't the first time. He was failing three classes, had the moral standards of a used car salesman, cussed like a sailor, and he lied so often he didn't even know himself what was fact or fiction. The young man was on academic probation. One more strike, and he was out. Why delay the inevitable, thought the professor. What right does he have to be here? He's such a hypocrite. He's hurt so many people. He only thinks about himself. He wants what he wants, willing to do anything to get it. He should be ashamed of himself. The professor regained his composure and his concentration, and before he spoke to the crowd in chapel, he asked them to bow their heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that I am not like some of the people in this room. I thank you for the discipline that I have developed over the years to work hard, to do things with integrity, and to be an honest person. Father, I'm proud to say that I've never cheated, never needed that cursed ChatGPT. God, you have granted me a position of leadership, a place for me to model righteousness and character. Father, you know how hard I have worked and what I've sacrificed for your church and for this university. You know the hours that I put in and the wealth that I have left behind. Father God, I promise to continue to be a beacon of light and goodness. In my name, I pray. Amen. Meanwhile, as the professor began to speak, the young student, late again, slipped to the corner of the gym and went behind the bleachers. He didn't want anyone to notice his tears. He had all but given up. Tired of failing and falling and failing and falling over and over again. He thought, what right do I have to be here? I'm such a hypocrite. I've hurt so many people. I only think about myself. I only want what I want, willing to do anything to get it. I am so ashamed of myself. The young man fell to his knees. He beat his chest, and he looked to the ground, too embarrassed to look up to heaven. And in a soft, humble voice, he prayed, Father, I have no right to be in your presence. But I plead for your grace. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I want to be good like you. Show me how. This is a modern day retelling of a parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 18. Some of you might know it better as the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Pharisees in Jesus' day were the good guys. They seemed to do everything right. They knew scripture. They preached in the synagogues. They fasted twice a week and put more money than anyone into the collection plate. Tax collectors were the bad guys. They seemed to do everything wrong. They ate with Gentiles. They sold out to Rome. They cheated and extorted their own people, willing to do anything for selfish gain. I can only imagine the shock on the audience's face when Jesus told this parable of reversal, that the tax collector was deemed good and the Pharisee was considered self-righteous. You see, at the beginning of Luke 18, before he tells this parable, it tells us why he told this parable. It says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on others, Jesus looked at them and gave the parable. The shocking truth in this parable is that the tax collector went home justified before God, not the Pharisee. The Pharisee or the professor didn't seem to need God at all. In fact, it almost seems as if God needed him. He justified himself. He put himself on a pedestal, and there was no room on that pedestal for God. There are two things I would like for you to consider as I close my talk this morning. The first is this. You are not a saint by the sins of another person. In other words, you're not made good by being less bad than somebody else. The only reason that any of us can be considered good is because of the righteousness of God. Paul says, God made him who had no sin to become sin for us so that we might become his righteousness. So there's no room for self in righteousness. And so many of us think our goodness is determined by looking at them and going, well, I'm doing better than they are. I must not be that bad. But you are not a saint by the sins of another person. But I also want you to know that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The only reason that any of us are made good is because of the gift of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. It's only through grace and mercy that any of us can be saved. And so as we stand at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. None of us are better. None of us are worse. But there is a Jesus that we exalt above all things. And we do good things out of the goodness of God. We don't do good things to earn the goodness of God, but because he's given it to us, we choose to be good. I want you to hear this morning that no one is too far gone. There's plenty of room at the foot of the cross. We all can be worthy. We all can be good in and through Jesus Christ.